When I was younger, probably one of the worst experiences of my life was when I had to go and pay a shiva call. It was something that was so, I can't say unpleasant, painful, awkward, that I would avoid it at almost all costs. I never wanted to go and pay a shiva call. I knew that if I go, I'm not going to know what to say. I didn't really feel like my presence was necessarily needed, unless it was somebody who was very close to me. But if it wasn't somebody who was close to me, what was I going to say? I understand your loss. I had never suffered a loss at that point. So what am I going to say? I know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through, you know. It was something that was so uncomfortable that I would often avoid not only going, but then afterwards you'd feel bad and you'd have to avoid the person, you know, in fact, the rest of your life, you know, because I never went to pay a shiva call because it was just something that was so difficult for a person to do. And I realized I was not alone in this. I met other people who had lost friends and acquaintances and neighbors over the years because they never paid a shiva call. They just couldn't. They couldn't bring themselves to do it. So there were two incidences, I think, that changed my perspective. One incident was obviously when I lost my own father. And it gave me insight into what it is to sit shiva. And the people who come. And the people who do what they're supposed to do and the people who don't do what they're supposed to do, which is what we're going to talk about. There was another incident that was pretty dramatic. And I'll put this one into context. I had a friend of mine whose wife suddenly passed away. She had an aneurysm and she suddenly passed away. And I had to fly to his city, and you buy one of the last-minute tickets, and you run out to be able to make a shiva call. And I went, and I paid a shiva call. Now, I felt this was something that even then, this was something that would make a difference to somebody, because it was a close friend. Earlier in that same week, a friend of mine got married out in L.A. And when I flew back from this city, back to my own city, I said, how is it I have time for tragedy? And I don't have time for a simcha. You pay a shiva call, I drop everything, run out to any city, you know, for a chasana, shava brachas. Not so important. So I went out for a shava brachas. And that became one of my themes. We always have time for tragedy, we don't have time for simcha. And by the way, I happen to believe that it's true. But that was one of the things that I would always say. And I had the schus for myself to have a kesha over the years with Rav Moshe Shapiro, Shlita. And I went to pay a shiva call when his mother passed away. Now, Rav Moshe Shapiro has thousands of Talmidim. I would not be so egotistical as to call myself one of his Talmidim. I'm not one of his Talmidim. I go to his shiurim, but I'm not a Talmud. He has thousands of Talmidim, you know? And besides all of the gedolim and all of the people of stature who came to pay a shiva call. And here I am. I come to pay a shiva call. And there weren't too many people there, so I could say over my, you know, my chochmas. And I said, you know, it's funny how we always have time for tragedy, we don't have time for a simcha, you know. And he gave me a look that I've received a number of times. And he says, Zelo ha'inyan, David. That's not what's going on here. He says, the reason you go to a simcha is because you don't want the guy to be upset at you. I have to tell you how many times I found this to be true. You know, in the scheme of chasanas and bar mitzvahs and brisim and all the simchas that Baruch Hashem we get to go to in the course of a week, a month, a year, how many of them do you really make a difference in? That the person is looking for you to pull you into the middle of the circle to dance with, you know? Okay, very small percentage. We go there because we know that if we don't go, we say, what, you didn't come to my simcha? Okay, I hear that. And then Rav Moshe said something so powerful. He said, but by a base oval, you come because the person needs you. I've thought about this a lot since then. Rav Moshe Shapiro needs me to come and pay him a shiva call? There's something about going through this process, and if you've never gone through the process, then you don't know what I'm talking about. Baruch Hashem, you shouldn't know for many years. But if you've gone through the process, you know that you're in a different state than you were before. Your world is a different place. I've gone to pay a shiva call to people who didn't have a lot of people to come and be Menachem. And I knew that I was making a difference. Sometimes you come and there's a room full of people and you're lucky if you get a seat in the back, and you know, and the oval may or may not even see you, may acknowledge you or not. But we understand that a person is there and they're expressing a sense of solidarity. I had a friend of mine, Yecheskel Goldberg. He was on his way to work. An Arab terrorist blew up the bus. He died. His youngest child was less than a year. I went to pay a shiva call to the almana. We were close, the whole family. And I was dreading this shiva call. And I walked in, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, and we both just started crying. And I didn't have to say a word. There's a sense of solidarity that you can bring when you go to pay a shiva call. And I know that when I was sitting shiva, and to me it was an absolutely amazing thing how everybody found out about it. Some communities, they send out emails, they make phone calls, etc. You know, I was from Eretz Yisrael and I came to America. I don't know how many people who knew me knew that I was sitting shiva and they managed to come. And at one point I was sitting with a group of close friends who knew my father. And we were talking about my father. And this couple comes in, who also knew my father. And they just started talking like it was a Sunday afternoon. We got together for a cup of coffee and a bagel. What's doing with this one, and how's this one, and how are the kids, and what's happening here, what's happening there, you know? And I remember the look on the faces of the people sitting there, my friends. They were just flabbergasted. They're flabbergasted. How can you just talk about anything? So, okay, some people don't get it. I've gone to houses of shiva where, you know, they put out coffee and cake, and everybody's just sitting around, everybody's schmoozing, telling jokes, and saying, yeah. Okay, I'm not saying that everybody is going to be able to sit shiva in a sense that has, you know, gravity to it, you know. But I've noticed that when I've gone to those houses of shiva, where people are just making conversation, I'll turn to the mourners and I'll say, what happened with your father? And they'll start to say the speech that, you know, more or less prepared, you know. He was sick and he had this and then he went over here and this happened and then we had this treatment and that. And I said, how was he in his last years? And they start to talk. And I say, where did he come from? What did he go through? And before you know it, they're talking about their life. And what I find is the friends who perhaps were closer than I were, who were sitting in the room, didn't know half the things I was talking about. And suddenly they start to find out all kinds of amazing things about this person's father or mother or brother. They didn't know. Because you give them an opportunity to talk. Now, obviously, when we're uncomfortable, so we try to talk around. Now, there's a great expression now calling the elephant in the room, you know. We try to avoid the elephant in the room. But the fact is that if a person doesn't have this opportunity to talk it through, I have to tell you the greatest chesed. My parents were close to the principal of the school where I went to, Rabbi Findel. And I'll never forget it. The whole year that I was in Avelis for my father, he called me every Arab Shabbos. Because the shiva week is just the beginning of a process. And the person, you know, has to be able to get through, but you want to be able to be there for them. I changed the minhag. You know, in certain circles, the minhag is you don't go to visit the oval the first 3 days because that's the worst part, etc. And I started going during the first 3 days because the person says, you know, we sit here by ourselves. 3 days, nobody bothers to come and see us, you know? And when you have nothing but yourself and your pain, it's much harder. Nosir ba'olam chavero means that if somebody else is carrying the burden with you, it makes it a little easier. When we go to a house of shiva, we have to know we're here for one purpose. If there's a lot of people there and a lot of Obviously, if he's sitting there with his Rebbe, you know, and they're talking, if they're sitting there with somebody close, you don't have to jump in and say, "So, how old was your father?" It's okay. These are the people with the chasana. When the chasan and his father and his father-in-law and the grandfather and the Rosh Hashiva are in for a dance, he has to jump into the middle too. It's okay. Give him that dance. It's all right. You know, it's okay. You'll have your chance, you know. It's the same thing in House of Shiva. If you don't have the time, you don't have the time. But your presence is noted. I can't tell you how many times, even though the whole place is a blur. I had a young lady in seminary. Her father passed away. She came back to finish up a year. And she told me, I feel like I'm losing my mind. I feel like I'm going crazy. I said, no. That's called being an Avelis. An Avel has had his whole life turned upside down. It is a life-altering event. And we just have to be there to figuratively hold their hand. Just to let them know with a look, with concern. And if you're in a place where people don't know how, take an interest. Ask them questions. Be involved. You know, every person is a story. Every person has a life. Every person had challenges and places where they came from and places that they went. I cannot tell you how many inspirational stories I've experienced at a House of Shiva just because I took the time to ask the questions. And suddenly you find out the most amazing things. Most amazing things about people. Where they come from, what they do. Nichum Aveilim, Chazal tell us, is a very, very special mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that you give, and frankly, you hope that nobody returns it. We should take the opportunity to be able to go. Don't shy away. Go. And if you have, if you don't have the words to say, then say the words with a look of support. Say the words with your presence, telling the person that you really care. And if you're in a house of Shiva where you see it starting to drift, just remind everybody there was a very special person who passed away. Let's take this opportunity to remember them.